Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
We're talking about Relationship 101, the refresher course we all need. We're not going deep. We're just going back to the basics, okay? Next week, is Father's Day. So that's just a hint for some of you wives that might forget. But Father's Day, or any sons or daughters, remember their dads. But next week I'm going to preach a one. It's part of relationships. We're going to talk about make fatherhood great again. And if you want, we have red hats made up. They're similar to what Trump had. Trump thought he could make America great by being in the White House. I feel like we can make America great by having fathers in homes today in America, and we can see things happen. So we're talking about different hats that we need to wear as fathers to make our home, our families great again. The week after that, communication. The week after that, sex. Television talks about it, movies talk about it, talk shows talk about it, and the church oftentimes doesn't talk about it. And so I, as a youth pastor, we used to do, true love waits and do purity times and give rings out. And my daughter's turns 13 this week, and so I'm taking my 13-year-old out for dinner, and I'm going to give her a ring and talk about that ring will come off someday when she walks down the aisle, and that purity talk. But purity is not for a season. It's for a lifetime. And I'm going to talk to, we're going to talk about purity. We're talking about sexual relationships and purity because we need to. And so that's the series we're in. But today we're talking about conflict. And how many of you have ever heard the statement, opposites attract? I think it's true. I've been married 20 years, going on 21. I love it quiet. My wife loves it noisy. My wife has to have music on 24/7, and I'm the guy. Anyone here had a hard time studying unless it was completely quiet? Raise your hand real high. So I typically study for my sermons on Friday mornings, and I find that if I'm at the office, I get, bombarded and things happen, and so I study at home or coffee shops because God lives at coffee shops. I just believe that. Amen. Okay, it's that sacred bean, the Christian crack, legal addiction, okay? Someone's laughing. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. It's an old song we sang as a kid, okay? Don't laugh at me. So, can quit it whenever I want, all right? And so my kids are home from school, so I was in my office, and Dwayne came by and says, "What are you doing? I never see you on Friday." I thought, my kids are home. You're going to see me every Friday now. Okay, it's quieter here than over there. Opposites attract. My wife is a night person. I'm a morning person. I like hot Mexican food and obviously hot Mexican women, okay? All right. And my wife, she doesn't like anything with any spice on it. Obviously. Look, okay? All right? And so, my wife will go to a restaurant and order the same thing every time. How many of you do that? How many guys are like me? You order something new every time. It's like, let's have some fun in life. Not be bland and boring. Okay, I won't go there. All right. Conflict, though. See, opposites do attract. The problem is in relationships, in employment, in marriage, opposites attract. And at first, I met with someone this week because they're getting married soon to walk through their wedding plans. And I said, "What are the quirky things?" "Oh, I just like it when they do that." I thought, "You will not like that a year in a marriage. I promise." I didn't say that. I thought that. Because opposites attract, and then opposites attack. Okay? Because we're meant. We're drawn to people different than us, but then those differences are challenges over time. And so a conflict is going to happen in relationships. And I love what Jesus said in Matthew 18. If another believer sins against you, say against. There's conflict there, okay? Go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won the person back. How many of you guys want to win people back? How many of you guys want to see God do great things in relationships and not have conflict end as disasters and wars and all of that, okay? So there's times conflict will happen. In the book of Job, Job chapter 5, verse 6, Job said, as sure as sparks fly upward, trouble's going to come. How many of you guys want to know? Trouble's going to come. In fact, prerequisites for relationships. Prerequisites for relationships. Three prerequisites. These are like 101 basic. Number one, conflict is unavoidable. Conflict is unavoidable. If two people agree on everything, one of you isn't necessary. Okay? You're not always going to agree on everything. You don't want everyone around you to say yes to it. You want people to have conflict because conflict is unavoidable. It's going to happen. In fact, I remember in my prior job, I took on a new role and oversaw a facility and a campground and staff and all of this. And I inherited someone. Have you ever worked with someone that just doesn't make sense to you? They're like, no, I'm married to that person. We'll pray for you later on. But that doesn't make sense. And so someone recommended, hey, Mark, there's a great book to recommend. I read it, and I read it's called Dinosaur Brains. Interesting book. And then the author had a second one called Emotional Vampires. I thought, oh, these are really good. Okay? But Dinosaur Brains, the premise of it is this. Conflict's unavoidable. The challenge is when conflict comes, how do you respond? And if you stay cognitive, you can work through the challenges that are unavoidable. If you get emotional, that book's premise is you go to what they call the dinosaur brain part of us. And the idea behind that is dinosaurs either fight. How many of you guys, when conflict comes, it's like, come on. Let's go, right? Others cower in fear. And they hide. And so I don't care, do whatever you want. They just kind of cower in fear. And the author talks about you either fight, you cower in fear, or you run real fast so you don't have to deal with it. And how do you know, today we want to talk about conflict, and conflict is unavoidable, and so we can't keep avoiding it because it won't just go away if you avoid it. Conflict's number one, it's unavoidable. Number two, conflict must focus on the problem, not on the person. Friends, people are never the problem. People have problems. Look at your neighbor and say, you have a lot of them. No, don't. Okay. Okay. People are never the problem. People have problems. Sometimes we think if I just get rid of this person, it's all going to go away. I thought that at one time. I lived in Painesville, Minnesota. Painesville. Yes, Painesville, Minnesota. And I met painful person number one. And when I left that place after a year being part-time, they couldn't afford to pay me. I thought, I don't never have to see painful person number one ever again. And I moved to Rawlins, Wyoming. And I realized someone was doing cloning long before. They figured out how to do it with a sheep. Because I found problem number one in a different body, but I found that person duplicated twice. And I was like, oh no. Worked there for about 2 years. I got hired at a church in Tacoma, Washington, where I met Heidi. And while I was there, it was a church of 5,000 people. And I found out that problem number one manifested about 50 people in my youth group. And then I realized something. It wasn't problem that was my problem. It was me that was the problem. If everywhere Mark goes, Mark has a problem, Mark's the problem. Can I say it again? If everywhere Mark goes, Mark has a problem, Mark's the problem. So I'm there in Tacoma going, oh no, it's not problem, it's me. So we're talking about that today. Conflict must focus on the problem, not the person. Because oftentimes, the person's not the problem. Sometimes it's how you interact with that person. Or if you fix their hurt or their pain, they'll respond differently. And thirdly, conflict can honor God. How do you know that if you learn how to deal with conflict correctly, you can actually honor God through how you deal with people? I love what it says in Romans, never, say never. Now they say in relational counsel, never say never and always, okay? But when Paul says never, never pay back evil with more what? Evil. Do things in such a way, in other words, work through relationships in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. I want to read this again, but I want you to look at all the personal pronouns, okay? Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live with peace with everyone. In studying for this message, have you ever read something before that kind of, it reached out its hand and slapped you while you're reading the book? You ever done that? Sometimes I read the Bible and God says, hey, wake up. This is you I'm talking about. Ever had that happen? So I'm reading, as I study for this, I read this quote. It's powerful. It says, every time you encounter a conflict, you are inevitably showing what you really think about God. Say it again. Every time you encounter a conflict, you are inevitably showing what you really think about God. Why? Because if God says, never pay back evil with evil, do everything you can in such a way that you're honorable, do all you can to live with peace, and you stir it up and you give it back to them like they gave it to you, and guess what you're doing? You're not being honorable, but you're also showing God, I'm going to treat people differently than you've treated me. So we'll talk about that today. We'll talk about how do we embrace conflict in a God-honoring way? Because I believe the Bible, there's conflict all throughout the Scriptures. Some worked out well, some did not work out well, but here's the reality, friends. We do not have the right to become dinosaur brains and fight it out the way the world would, or run from it and never deal with it, or just cower in fear and hope it goes away. If we want to deal and grow, we have to handle conflict God-honoringly. Amen? Number one, if you're taking notes, it's also on the YouVersion app. If you have that downloaded, our app for the church here. Number one, always listen first. Always listen. God gave us how many ears? Two. Say two. God gave us two ears and how many mouths? One. Yet some of us speak twice as much as we listen. We have two ears and one mouth. And so before we jump to conclusions, listen. Before you jump on the other person, listen. I heard this. James says it this way. You must all be quick to listen and slow to speak. Sometimes I think we've got to push that around. We're quick to speak and slow to listen. The Bible says, hey, be slow to speak and quick to listen, and slow to get angry. Slow down. Now, there's two ways we listen. And two ways we receive what people say. One is we're what we call below the line listeners. No matter what they say, we think of the worst. Or we're above the line listeners. We're always listening and we're thinking about the best. How many of you know if you're listening and all you're thinking about is the worst, you're probably not fully listening? Slow to speak and quick to listen. The more I listen, the more I understand. The more I understand, the better I can respond. How many of you guys have ever watched the movie Hitch? A few of you. And Will Smith has an allergic reaction where his lips come out about five times bigger than they should be. You guys remember that picture? I had that happen once at Trinity Bible College when I was a student. And I ate something. It was senior preaching day, and I was supposed to preach, and I woke up, and I ate, and my lips were out to like here, and I'm like, oh no, this is not good. I don't believe in evolution, but I look like evolution right now. And someone says, Mark, I called my mom. My mom says, go get some Benadryl. I said, what's that? What's that allergy medicine stuff? So I took some Benadryl, and sure enough, by the time I preached, my lips were tingling, but they weren't big anymore. That's a good thing. I'd have backed out and not probably preached that day. Some of you kind of wished I would have woke up. Okay, never mind. We won't go there. But I found out, and how many of you guys have ever taken medicine and it not worked good for you? And it had the worst case. You know, hey, your body might react. How many of you know it's not good when your body reacts to medicine? It's good when your body responds to medicine, right? And when it comes to conflict, the reason you're slow to speak and quick to listen is because you want to respond at the right time, not react at the wrong time. Now, guess what? I raised my hand to be the first to say, I don't always do this very well. I is preaching something I know is right, but sometimes hard to live. Does anybody else can identify with me that maybe you don't get A's all the time in conflict resolution and management? Okay? In fact, why do they call it anger management? You can't manage sin. Okay. Hey! Woo! Love the fact you guys are all with me today. Number two. Number one. We are always listening first. Number two, we never speak out of anger. Say never. Speak out of anger. Anger is one letter short of danger. Don't get a D in anger. That's dangerous. Now, here's the problem is this. How many of you know 90% of communication isn't words? How many guys? I live in a house with four daughters. I wouldn't know about it. Some of you others that have daughters would know about it. But I have never, ever seen facial expressions or eye rolls or, no, I'm not upset ever. Okay? Never. You maybe have in your home, so we'll pray for you. But. Yeah, okay. It's fun when you can laugh at yourself or laugh at someone else, right? Solomon said this, some people make cutting remarks, or shall I say even, you don't always have to say something, 90% of communication is nonverbal, but some people make cutting remarks or act in such a way, but the words of a wise bring what? Healing. See, if you speak with anger and cutting remarks and no, I'm not angry, and yes, I'm listening, then you're not causing healing to happen in a relationship. And in fact, I've learned this. You probably have learned this before if you've had any counseling courses or classes or whatnot. But how many of you know if the room elevates with noise because of anger, you lower your voice and it lowers the other person's voice. How many knew that? And so sometimes if you're angry, I love Proverbs says this, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. If you're at a place in conflict where you realize you're in no place to answer in a non-angry way, then ask the other person, say, I got to push a pause button right now. I'm going to say some things I may regret, and I want to think through what I'm going to say right now. I don't want to shift the dinosaur brain, emotional side. I want to stay cognitive. You might not say that out loud to them. That would be kind of weird. But how many of you guys have ever had to slip away and say, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to go sit for a little while. I'm going to be careful before I say something you don't want to say and I don't want to say. Okay, so sometimes we have to understand that we can reschedule the appointment. We can pause for a moment. But here's the reality. If you keep your head when everyone else is losing theirs, you'll be taller than them. Profound, isn't it? Deep. Don't get a D in anger. Conflict 101 says, hey, don't speak out of anger. So number one, embracing God-honoring conflict, listen to other people. Number two, never speak out in anger. So if you can't speak without anger, take a pause and say, can we reflect on this? I want to ask some questions, listen. And then we can talk at a point where I feel like I'm under control. In fact, I think as parents sometimes, you're wise when disciplining your children. Don't discipline your children out of anger. Okay? Make sure you're disciplining them and you're not taking your frustration out on them, okay? Number three, value the relationship over the resolution. Value the relationship over the resolution. Sometimes we're more committed to being right and getting our way than we are the other person. We need to be more committed to the person than agreeing with everything with them on everything. You can be right and win the argument, but be wrong because you lose the relationship. And it's possible and spiritually healthy. Talk about spiritual formation. It's possible and spiritually healthy to disagree with someone and still have a strong relationship with them. What are you doing? You're choosing to realize their relationship is more important than agreeing with someone on everything. The value, the relationship over resolution. I love, we've heard this, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Some say, hey, in your anger, do not sin. Don't give the devil a foothold. I've told this story before. Some of you maybe never heard it. But I have two brothers. One is Carl. I called him Lucifer. That was my nickname for him. But Carl was 6 foot tall in seventh grade. He grew 8 inches in seventh grade. And so he was really fun to watch with basketball. He'd dribble one, and then the ball was off his foot out the, you know. And so Carl would come home and say, hey, Mark, who won the horse race? I said, I don't know. And I was the runt of the litter, okay? I was the tiny one in the family. Everyone else was taller. And so he'd say, Charlie, and he hit me in the arm. I go, oh, man, Charlie. You know, the next day he'd come home and says, Mark, guess who won the horse race? I said, I don't know, Charlie. After the second day, I said, you know, wait a second here. Do it to me once, shame on you. Do it to me twice, shame on me, right? And so I said to him, I said, if you hit me again like that, I'm going to kick you so hard. This was before Kung Fu Panda. I had no expression of how to say it. But he went to hit me the next day. I turned and I went to kick him and I connected right between his legs and what Kung Fu Panda calls the tenders. My brother's already going through puberty. His voice was already changing. He goes, I'm going to kill you. Precisely at that moment, I realized he was going to kill me. And he had about 100 pounds on me, and I believed him. And so I'm running to my room, and my mom was OCD, obsessive cleaning disorder. I mean, everything, she just cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. And she ran out of her typical floor, whatever. So she took the pledge, you know, the pledge for furniture polish, and she squirted the oak stairways up to my bedroom with pledge. Now, I had been getting ready for the barn. It's winter. I had my wool socks on. Wool. On pledge enhanced stair traction doesn't work. And I'm running. And I just believed if I got to my bedroom and shut that door before my brother got there, I was safe. I realized there's no three outs with my brother Carl. There's no safe. I'm running, he's grabbing my leg, and I'm shaking off. I get to my bedroom, and I slam the door. I could not get the latch all the way over because my brother got his foot inside the door. And I realized that night what a foothold was. A foothold, yeah. A foothold is when, I learned also that a foothold becomes a stronghold very quickly. That'll preach if we're talking about spiritual warfare. But here's reality. Don't let the sun go down when you're still angry or you'll give the devil a foothold. It doesn't say go to bed and everything will always be all right. The Bible doesn't say you can't go to bed until you agree upon everything. It doesn't say that. No, it says make sure the relationship is right when you go to bed. There might be times my wife and I don't agree on a certain issue, but we choose not to be angry with each other when we go to bed. Make sense? And so choose to value the relationship more than the resolution. The problem is if you go to bed still angry with a person, you give the devil a foothold and the devil comes in and goes. And then all of a sudden, I'll tell you right now, a lot of below the line thinking happens. You can't think of anything good because all you play in your mind is, I can't believe they did that. Can you believe they said that? They do that every time. They never do. I guess that's never happened to anyone else in this room, only me. I'm sorry. I was thinking out loud. Please forgive me for that. In Colossians, it says, make allowance for each other's faults. Say allowance. Make allowance for the other's faults and forgive anyone. Say anyone. Who offends you. Oh, snap. That means everyone. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Remember that statement about conflict where I said conflict best shows others how we respond to God? God, you've made allowances for my conflict. You made allowances for my choices, God. You made allowances for how I've treated you, Lord. And you've forgiven me. So, Lord, help me make allowances for others. Why? Be more committed to the relationship than the resolution. It's a command. There are very few conflicts in this world worth throwing relationships away for. The path to honoring conflict is, number one, listen. Let's not get angry. Let's value relationship over resolution. And next, let's seek godly compromise. Let's seek godly compromise. Compromise is not weakness, friends. Compromise is a sign of spiritual growth. Now, when I say that, see, pride, Proverbs 13:10, Solomon nails it. Pride leads to conflict. What leads to conflict? Pride. Let's break down the word pride. P-R-I-D-E. I think we probably could say my pride leads to conflict. Your pride leads to most of the conflicts, and swallow your pride, you'll realize it's not fattening.
Yeah. So like, oh, I just got that. It's good. Sorry.
See, last week I said that, you know, love, we talked about the basics of love, love 101, and we talked about love compromises, and I talked about compromises and always 50-50. Sometimes compromises 0 to 100. Okay? Here's the deal. I can be passionate about a certain color of couches or a certain color of shirt or whatever, but I'm colorblind. I've learned a long time ago, honey, whatever you think is best, you do it. I don't have to win on this one. And if I prefer to my wife, she typically, in a great relationship, if I can defer to her, she'll She'll defer to me at times when it's something that doesn't matter as much to her. It's when we always have to have our way. It's prideful. I love what Philippians is. Paul says, do not look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Don't only look at your own interests, but take an interest in others too. A long time ago, 20 years ago, spoke at our graduate, or for baccalaureate when I was, no, it's 27 years, never mind. Long time ago, spoke at baccalaureate when I was graduated. And I remember I used this verse. And I shared this illustration of this boy named Billy who'd been sick for months. And he had gotten out of the hospital. He's feeling better, starting to play outside. Mom was still kind of scared, you know, timid, because, you know, Billy had been sick for so long, she wanted to overcompensate and care for him, if that makes sense. And so, but they bought him a puppy when he got home. So he's outside playing, and he finally stops, and this puppy just starts licking this boy's face up. And what, anyone know what I'm talking about? I always like to remind those people that dog had just licked its, okay, before, never mind. Its armpit. But Billy's mom walks out on the porch, and she's looking, she's going, and this boy's laughing, and the dog's just licking away. And mom goes, Billy, what are you doing? And Billy stands up and says, Mom, I haven't been sick for 2 weeks. The dog's going to be fine. Billy was thinking about the dog. Mom was thinking about, Billy, what are you doing with a little puppy kissing you like that? It ain't going to work. Refresher 101. The most important trip you'll ever take is meeting someone halfway. When you can swallow your pride and realize you don't always have to win, and you can defer and prefer someone else. Number one, let's always listen. Let's not react or speak in anger. Let's value the other person before resolution, and let's seek compromise. And lastly, as we close today, surrender the relationship to God. I love what Psalms 37:5 says. David says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he'll help you. When I thought, when I left Painesville, Minnesota, I would never see problem number one, and I moved to Rawlins, Wyoming, and I met the same problem in a different person, and I moved to Tacoma, I realized you can ask God to take away your problem people. But guess what? I want to ask you, there's a better question to ask. God, can you take me out of this difficult situation? The better question to ask him is, God, can you help me get everything I need out of this situation? If you're in a time of conflict, don't run from it, but embrace it and say, God, would you help me right now? I'm going to trust in you. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways I'll acknowledge you. You'll direct my path. But God, I commit everything to you. I trust you because I know you'll help me. We often pray, God, I want to get out of this situation. And God goes, no, start praying. God, what can I get out of this situation? What can I learn? How can I grow? How can I compromise? How can I learn not to say what first comes to my mind, whether it's sarcastic or rebuttal or whatever it is. Lord, I want to be slow to speak and quick to listen, because I want to be more committed to the person than the resolution. I want to have a relationship with you after this passes. I don't know if anyone in here today learned anything on Conflict 101, but I can tell you, I as I preach, I'm sitting here going, oh man, I need this as much as any of you. I hope you don't think I'm up here as the expert. I'm up here having to study relationships all the time myself, because guess what? As long as we're living, there's going to be conflict. They're unavoidable. And so ask yourself the question, how can you grow today? Now, before I end, before we close today, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you a chance today to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. If you're here for maybe for the first time, maybe you've never made a commitment to the Lord. In other words, if you died today, you do not know for sure if you stood before him in heaven, why you should go to heaven. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's plan for our life. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. In other words, we've all messed up. Anyone in that same boat as me, you've messed up. You've sinned. You've made choices that separate you from Jesus. Maybe you're here today. You've never made a commitment to Christ. Or you're backslidden. In other words, you used to serve God, but you've slid away. You're not where you used to be. You've lost traction. It's wintertime in your relationship, and it's icy, and you've slid off the road, and you need help to get back on the path. And today I want to talk to you about that. There's three ways to have a commitment to Christ, three ways to start a relationship. A, admit. Admit you've sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned. A, admit. B, believe. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. A, admit. B, believe. And C, confess. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Not from taxes, not from difficult times, not from saved from our sin that separates us from God. Maybe you're here today. You're not in right relationship with Jesus. Three folks last service said, Pastor, I want to make a decision to serve Jesus. I wonder if there's anyone else in here this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? No one looking around. If you're here today, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, I'm simply going to ask you just to wave at me in a moment. I'll count to three. And when I say three, just wave at me if that's you. One, two. If you've already made a commitment to Jesus, would you pray? There's people that might be weighing in the balance right now. They're weighing. They're kind of deciding, do I want to serve Jesus or not? Friends, I'm not talking about a prayer in a moment. I'm talking about making a decision to change the path you've been walking on. I'm going to say three. You're tired of where you're at. And today you're saying, Pastor, today's the day I'm changing things. Today's the day I'm going to make a new commitment to Jesus, or a first-time commitment. I'm going to say three. Lift your hand up. Three. Is there anyone here? When I say three, just lift your hand up. Thank you, sweetheart. Anybody else? Just wave your hand at me. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you in the back. Anybody else waving? Balcony down below. Thank you, sweetheart. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, Mark, that's me. Is there a gentleman? Maybe you're far from God, and today you're here, and for whatever reason, you say, today's the day, Pastor. I want to make a commitment to Jesus. Would you stand with me all across this place this morning, please? We're going to sing this song. At the mention of your name, every chain will break. If you lifted your hand because you want to make a commitment to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to do something. Something I did when I was a kid, I'm going to ask you to do. And you might think, oh, that's kind of hard. That's hard. That first step's hard. It's not hard after that. We have a prayer team that would like to pray with you. But if you lifted your hand because you want to make a commitment to Jesus, I'm going to ask you when we sing this song to step out and just begin to walk this altar. We want to pray with you. We want to connect with you, because here's what I'm convinced. Spiritual formation doesn't happen in an isolated moment. It happens because we partner together. So the moment we sing this song, don't think about it. If you raise your hand, say, I want to make commitment to Jesus, just walk down the aisle. We're going to meet you at the altar. We want to pray with you, okay? So Heidi, let's sing. And would you come this morning? We want to pray with you this afternoon. It's 12:05. Just come. If you raised your hand, we want to pray with you this morning. You know, they're praying with them right now. But maybe you're here and you want special prayer for relationships and there's conflict. It's heavy in your heart. I'm going to close in prayer for those that need to leave. But we're going to stay. The worship team will continue to worship. But if you're here and you want special prayer for a challenging circumstance you're in, or maybe you've been going, God, take it away. And God's going, oh, no, I'm trying to do something in you right now. Don't push it off when I want to do something deeper in you. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here today. God, I pray that you would help us to work through conflict and be more committed to the person than our way. Help us with that, Lord. God, I'm so thankful that you've given us an allowance. And God, you've forgiven us. And we can forgive others. Help us to listen. Help us if we deal with anger. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. If you want special prayer, please come. We'd love to pray with you right here at the altar.